The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, Parky, lots of teams might have been having Mad Monday at the end of the last rounds of the Championship and Championship One and Super League, but for the rest, it's all about the road to Widnes and the road to Old Trafford.
It is, yeah. This is like the business end, isn't it?
To coin
the phrase everybody uses.
Well said.
But, we've got some big matches coming up, haven't we, to be honest?
I thought it was the final bell for us, but we've been told we've got to carry on. I was looking forward to a Mad Monday.
We carry on anyway, Adrian. You know, we don't fatigue at all. We're always here.
Well, judging that our schedule, we're going to be having our Mad Monday at Christmas.
Yeah. Are you hinting?
Are we doubling up? Party Mad Monday?
Are you hinting?
Yeah.
I've got a piece of paper here. Have you
got your card at the ready?
Are you already giving me, you know, like your list of prezzies you want?
Yeah.
Okay. Such as?
A rugby ball would be all right.
A winning with this team?
No, we got that one against Lee. Oh, get the dig in against Lee already.
Oh, see, early doors again. It's just
But
it's
having
ridiculous.
Said that, though, no, well, before I carry on, I'm going to stop there because it's two leafers against one here. We're being joined by Lee Mines, Paul Whitworth. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Evening.
And the reason Paul is here, he's got a big day on Sunday, so no Mad Monday for him till Monday.
Monday. You've got to be carrying on, aren't you?
Yeah, our season doesn't end on Sunday.
Oh, right, okay, I thought it did. Shows you what I know.
See. And I suppose as well, looking forward to that game, you've done really well to get there, and Lee Miners have a bit of history in this competition as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think we was actually the last team to win it, and it's old guys, but in the last three seasons, this is the third time, four seasons, third time we've made it to the final.
And you've had to beat some half-decent opposition to get there, haven't you? I mean, I know it all started with, was it Underbank?
So many games this year, I think we're on our game 31 at the moment, so...
Blimey. And people say that professional teams play too many games. You wouldn't want Jamie Peacock coming playing for you, would you?
Because he's just been moaning. Jamie Peacock when you said that.
I'd get him on bench. But I mean, that's 31 competitive games, and there's the warm-up games before that as well.
Definitely, yeah, because it was quite a long warm-up to the season as well, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah.
But it's a long way for Ian Ruin to come from Warfbrow to Warrington, where this show's recorded, or for lovelybully.com at the home of Radio General. But we're going to be joined by Ian on the phone very shortly, just to level things up. We don't want them to be upsetting Warfbrow when we get there on Sunday, Parky.
Oh, no, we don't want that.
No,
we want love and harmony all round until kick-off.
I'd like an early kick-off.
An earlier kick-off? It's 11:30, isn't it?
Yeah,
11.
Well, they've got to travel from Cumbria.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you're doing.
Can say what time are them guys going to leave? It's 4 o'clock in the morning?
I think they're meeting at 6, are you?
Blimey.
Check that Rooney.
Wow, blimey. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm still in bed.
You're still in bed at 10. What are you on about?
I'll probably get there about 11:25.
Oh, right, yeah.
Just in time for the bacon butty for when Lee Mines kick off against Warfbrow.
That's early from you.
Mega early for me, I'm telling you. But what a way for Super League to end, eh? To settle the League Leader Shield. Who says no one wants the League Leader Shield?
Well, they didn't last year, did they? Everyone was trying to lose in the run-up to it. But everybody's been winning, haven't they? In the run-up to this one. You've had some really freaky results over the last few weeks.
I actually thought, really, I don't think Leeds wanted it, personally. I just thought they wanted to win that game, to win that three-match winning streak they've had since Wembley.
Losing streak that they've had.
Yeah, losing streak, that's what I meant.
But I think that you look at it, and I don't know how you can say that. Leeds are always after a win. They're the ultimate professional side. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, coming off the back of the cup game, they just couldn't really get back into the groove of winning. They were never far off, and they're full of quality, so it weren't going to be too long before they got back. And what a time to do it!
What was an odd thing about that is that Ryan Hall had been dreadful for much of the game, and yet he showed 30 seconds
zero
of brilliance.
To hero.
Yeah, well, I think they were actually targeting him for long periods, and it just showed you he got in his stride. The ball came at the right time, and he got over that line for that really probably. Momentous moment in their season.
And I have to admit as well that if that try isn't shown to publish and publicise our game for the next 5 years, then there's something's gone wrong somewhere.
And I think the time of it with the Rugby Union World Cup as well, I think it sort of highlighted our game amongst all what's been going on.
Well, you know, I don't know what your feelings are regarding Rugby Union. I know obviously in Lee they're a well respected club, aren't they?
I think it's a game for people who can't play rugby league.
Well, actually, I was wondering whether I could get a dig in here, you know, because I think there was more skill shown in that 30 seconds than I've seen in the entire World Cup so far.
Yeah, I think when you get a game with with just two tries and 53 point scores, I think you've got a problem.
It's never a Huddersfield game, to be honest, when you see a shot of Paul Anderson throwing the bottle of water on the floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he's taken after Carl,
doesn't he?
I think he's taken after Carl Harrison for that. I've got personal experience of having water bottles chucked at me by Carl Harrison down the years. So, yeah, yeah. And also when he used to be at Salford and he had these radios which were all cased in rubber, and suddenly you'd find it whizzing past your head. Oh, I tell you, those were heady days.
Paul Anderson just takes out in the water. I feel sorry for the bottles of water at Huddersfield.
Yeah, don't go giving him your bottle of water. He just chuck it on the floor, Paul.
Okay, I'll keep it tight.
I know Huddersfield lit a fight another day, but I'm sure they would have hoped to have had home advantage rather than a tough away game against Wigan to look forward to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, you know, you're looking at it and Huddersfield have been really good value. I mean, you've said throughout the season, when are they going to fall off the horse? Because they usually do, don't they, somewhere between.
It's just a discipline cost them against Leeds, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought they played some good stuff actually in that game, and when you go 16 points to 8 up, that given the sort of timing within the game, you should be able to shut it down, I suppose, shouldn't you?
Yeah, you should, but I think there's a pressure in there as well, getting to the end of the game, and they thought they were going to, you know, maybe put the queue on the rack a little bit. I'm not sure.
I think it was their helicopter. This helicopter, definitely was caused plenty of disruption. Imagine what you're feeling like if you're Wigan, though. With 30 seconds left,
you can hear
thinking,
it hovering.
It's over us. It's over us. They're going to be bringing us.
It's moving away, and you're thinking, where's he going?
Where's he going? Hey, you went land over here.
Yeah.
Land somewhere in Oral. Where's he going?
Yeah, dramatic scenes, wasn't it? Casper there, obviously just playing for Pride, but obviously ran into a hungrier team in the shape of Wigan. Huddersfield just fell short. But what a performance from Warrington against Saints.
Very good, very good. And to be honest, I know that we've commented before on this show about Roy Asatazi and maybe a lack of form that he's shown. He's found this last couple of years difficult, really, at Warrington, I think, to string together good performances. But
I just got the impression, though, Kieran Cunningham wasn't that bothered.
Really?
Yeah.
That just seems odd.
I know.
Anyway, I can do a Kieran Cunningham impression.
Go on then.
So there you go. It doesn't really work well on radio.
I haven't got a camera to take a picture.
No,
but
no.
You look the spit of him.
Exactly, yeah. It's with the shaved head as well, that's where it is. But if you're just wondering what I did, I lifted the headphones up off me, I guess.
Yeah, I just got the impression he wasn't too concerned. He'd lost again to Warrington. And they obviously feel they can go to Leeds and get the job done.
Was he just being casual, though? Because you know Kieran Cunningham, you know that he's a passionate man, you know he's St Helens through and through, and I'm sure that he would have been really disappointed with losing out to Warrington, particularly when they've kind of dominated the fixture this year, haven't they?
He has been quite critical, though, in front of the cameras of his team, so I'm not sure whether he's had a bit of feedback on that. And I think he was quick to praise him on the form running into that game as well, so he can see what they can produce in the next game, I guess.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because, you know, I guess at times you'll know with your coaching part, Paul, players respond differently, don't they?
Certainly do. Different players respond differently. Some need a kick, some need an arm around them. And it's man management.
Yeah. So, and obviously this is something that he's in a big job there, isn't he, Kieran? So he's just come into it virtually. I know he's been around, you know, the team for a number of years in sort of assistant roles, but when it's your job, it's an altogether different beast, isn't it?
I'm sure there's plenty think they can coach and step up, but it's a continuous learning curve, and each week, you know, you learn something different.
Well, after that dramatic win for Leeds, Ryan, it meant they got 2 from 3, Challenge Cup in the bag, league leader shield in the bag.
Yeah.
Can they make it a hat-trick?
How are they going to go on when they play these Aussie sides? Because, I mean, they're always moaning about having too many games to play. They've got 2 games to play so far, haven't they?
Yeah, but I'm sure Jamie Peacock won't be bothered because he'd be retiring.
Oh, no, he's at Hull Kingston Rovers then.
So he's all right.
He needn't worry about anything of such a big magnitude of a game again, will he?
Is that in a playing capacity?
No, he's going as general manager there. I think it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, I jested there. He's been an excellent ambassador for the sport, you know, and if he can pull on some of his experience.
Well, it's a model they use in the NRL. I mean, a lot of the players do move into the upstairs, and I know they're actually running some sort of university course now, aren't they, for rugby management,
right.
And I know Marley's been on that. A couple of other players, but maybe he's also been on that.
It's not something that appeals to you, is it, Paul? You know, rugby league management, get a degree in it.
Not sure.
You don't need it. You've qualified from the School of Hard Knocks, haven't you, down at Miners?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Playing at the cutting edge of rugby. Is that how they describe it?
That's how you described it. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Cutting edge rugby. Yeah.
That's how you always played into the game.
Yeah.
Right at the cutting edge.
Try to. Anyway, it's Ethan Zach Hardacre, who revealed that he was pinching himself at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a good job he didn't have a game or training on the Saturday. And he also said no one could stop smiling. He was wearing a Leeds top that night.
Yeah, well, I pinched myself till about 4 in the morning because I couldn't sleep. Managed to get a couple of hours. Got up in the morning, you know, waiting to Kirkstall, and all the lads were the same, tired, sore, bruised. But one thing was same, everyone had a beaming smile on their face, you know. I think Kev said he's not stopped smiling all weekend, and I think that just, you know, shows how much the game meant to everyone, and I think everyone was still, you know, full of it this morning, and everyone was still in high spirits and talking about the game on Friday. But we have to sort of put that aside now and concentrate on a big game on Friday against Saints. So it's good while you win, and you know, the weekend, you know, look at that and feel some kind of achievement for it. And you know, with the league leaders and two shields out of three now, two trophies out of three, so it's just a tough ask now to do it on Friday, but all the boys are really looking forward to it, especially playing at Edenley.
We had two big wins against Saints earlier in the league, but they beat us in the Super 8, so it sets things up nicely for Friday.
Yeah, they're a great team. You know, the form that they're going in at the moment has been pretty good. I know they lost against Warrington, but I thought Warrington themselves played quite well and played quite free, you know, with the offloads and stuff. But you know, Warrington are Saints were pulling the side, and you know, they've beaten us this year not long back as well, so they might know how to beat us. But you know, the confidence that the boys have all got, we can really put into this week, and you know, just try and put out a really good performance on Friday night.
Come on, Zach, wake up. It's St. Helens you're playing, not Warrington.
Well, he's expecting, like everybody else, Warrington to have been there. So that just shows how disappointing they've been this season.
Exactly. Thank you very much to Leeds Rhinos TV for providing us with that audio. Zach Hardacre, that was on the day of the Dream Team being announced that he was part of.
Yeah, and it's always the day that a lot of journalists look forward to, don't they? Because then they can go and get 13 top-class players in the same room and end up having lunch with them.
Done that a few times.
See, that's why I mentioned it. You know, you're old hat at it, Adrian.
Alongside Zach Hardacre, and Jermaine McGilvery, he made his first appearance in the Dream Team alongside Hardacre in the wing. Number three, Callum Watkins. Michael Shenton was in the centres alongside him, with Joe Burgess making an appearance, even though he's on his way to Australia at the end of the season. Danny Brough and Luke Gale were the halfbacks alongside Alex Walmsley, James Roby. It's his second home, mate. Fifth appearance in the Dream Team for him. Jamie Peacock, a record 11th appearance for the Old Boy Rugby League. Zeb Tia for the Catalan Dragons alongside Liam Farrell. And Adam Cuthbertson. What a Super League debut he's had.
Tell you what, you'd never fit that team under a salary cap, would you, looking at
that? I don't know. The way Lee's signing players, I might give it a go.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to ask Derek, won't I? See what he says.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Come on then, Parker. We've just mentioned the Dream Team. You're a fan of it, of what's been lined up, or are you disappointed someone's not made it?
I'd like to see two teams, actually. That could be a real showstopper, couldn't it? They could have it. You know, they've got like they have in the NBA,
yeah,
where the all-star teams play against each other.
Okay, all right.
That'd be really good, that. I bet you could sell that out.
I mean, I know they do two separate ones with they have the Championship Dream Team, but they call those, is it the All-Star Team?
I think it is, yeah. It's usually announced at the dinners, isn't it, they have.
Yeah.
I was thinking of two Super League Dream teams.
And have a game against each other.
And have an exhibition game, yeah.
I reckon that could work, that.
Start of the next season as an opener, yeah, you know, something like that. I don't know. I suppose you'd have to run it by all the clubs and get them all to agree, and then you've got insurance, and this is where it gets boring, folks.
They'd be thinking, oh gosh, another game of rugby. Played 29 already.
It could be Jamie Peacock's final send off. Couldn't it?
He's had more send offs than anybody. I'm sure he'd be looking forward to his final retirement, says, well, once Leeds are knocked out of the playoffs or if they go all the way to Old Trafford.
I'm glad that you turned that round for our
Very
Yorkshire
quickly,
listeners,
yeah,
by the way.
Don't be miffing them off, do you? Anyway, we're joined by Paul Whitworth. He's from the Lee Miners, but he's seen play Warfbrow Hornets on Sunday in the National Conference League final at the Horton Stadium. Now, obviously, Warfbrow in Cumbria, not going to ask him to come all the way down here for a quick interview. So we've got Ian Rooney on the phone. Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, everyone.
Ian Rooney, head coach of Warsprow. First of all, what's your thoughts on Lee Mines? First of all, what's your thoughts on Paul Whitworth?
I've got the utmost respect for Paul Whitworth and the Lee Miners club. I'm sure he's smiling there next to you.
He is, actually.
Coleman. Fantastic blokes, true rugby league men, great, great club, Lee Miners, and as I stated earlier, I have the utmost respect for everyone involved with Lee Miners.
To be honest with you, Paul, and Ian, Lee Miners and Warsprow, two great names within the Hampshire game.
Yeah, yeah. Ian, can I just tell you, Alan couldn't be here tonight because on a Wednesday night it's British Bake Off and he doesn't like to have his evening disturbed, so that's why Alan's not here tonight.
Paul, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Me and you go back a long way along with Alan Coleman, so that doesn't surprise me at all. Maybe still recovering from last Saturday.
I take it you two are not into baking then?
Most certainly not.
No.
I just wait to be in answer for Ashton, certainly not.
Now, we've been talking to Paul about the early kickoff for you guys, 11:30. Now, you guys are coming from Warsprow. That's a really proper early start for a team of amateur rugby league players.
It is, but there's, you know, we're not going to hold that as any excuse whatsoever. We knew what time kickoff it was, and when we entered the comp, and yeah, there's a bit of travelling, but for the past 12 seasons we've done that kind of travelling, albeit a little bit earlier, but you know, it's we knew, we were well aware of it, and you know, we just have to deal with it. It's something else, another stepping stone, and we'll have to get on with it, and I'm sure Miners will be exactly the same.
And for both Warsprow and Lee Miners, it's a big stage, isn't it?
It is a big stage. It's great for the community game, it's great for Lee Miners, it's great for everyone who's involved in both clubs, and I'm sure Paul would agree we've got a lot of mutual respect for each other.
Yeah,
met a number of times over the years, and they're always great contests, and for 80 minutes we'll be battling it out, but certainly after the game, before the game, there's a great friendship there, and we'll certainly do the amateur game justice, I hope, and we'll have a great day together.
Ian, it's Dave Parkinson here. I just wanted to know how Warsprow have gone about preparing for the final. You had quite an interesting run in to get to this stage, didn't you? Especially the semi-final.
We obviously both played four games to get to the final, so I'm sure Paul would say, you know, they've worked equally as hard as ourselves to get there. And we had a local derby in the semi-final, managed to get all across the line against Egremont Rangers, and it's been a challenge. You know, we've played top flight opposition all round. So, but Paul and Alan's team, again, they've had some real tough encounters under Bankmillan, St Pat's and Thornhill. That is not an easy route to a final, and we're a fantastic pedigree in this competition. So,
yeah, it's actually made a bit of the challenge. It's actually made a little bit more difficult when you're playing sides you don't come up against week in, week out. You're like the Thornhills, you come with good pedigree and good results, and there's nothing you really can plan against. You've got to wait for them to turn up and see what's in front of you.
Yeah, that's a really valid point. I mean, especially under Bank, we played them a couple of seasons ago and knew they would be a challenge. And to be fair to Miners, you know, but the Thornhill game, they've put 40 points on teams, and you know, that shows the class of the club and the class of the players they've got at their disposal. And you know, let alone it took four games to get there, we're under no illusions that Warsprow are difficult. It's going to be on Sunday.
Now, we know rugby league is a stronghold within Cumbria. We've always been told that over the years, but how strong is it in the amateur game at the moment?
It's, you know, those boys from Langston in Yorkshire would probably say there's not a lot to do in West Cumbria really, other than play sport and a bit of scenery, so we haven't got the distractions of some of the bigger places and the bigger cities and towns in our country. It's thriving. It's certainly, I can only speak for my own club really, in Warsprow. It's thriving. We run sides from under sevens all the way up, and I know Kells are going real well in the Conference One. Millam are having a resurgence slightly further down the coast. Egremont have been, doing really well in recent years, but potentially under the cosh a little bit the back end of this season, but they're a quality club as well. So the game's going, you know, quite strongly. I would still beat the drum of, you know, our governing body should spend more money on the community game and a little less with those at the top, but we could talk about that all night long.
I'm sure we could, can't we?
We certainly could, yeah. And I would question Paul the same, actually. What's the strength of Lee Miners been, you know, within the team? I'm thinking with the way that Lee's been the last couple of years, has that really helped Miners?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got a great junior setup there. You know, it's well known throughout the country. But I think on top of those expectations, when you're at a club like Lee Miners, it does attract the right sort of players and people around you. And I think, like I say, is you expected to win and be at the top, so that's a big driver for everybody who gets involved.
Could be a great game, isn't it? Who do you think's going to win, Parky?
I've got to stick with my Lee allegiances here. I'm going Lee Miners, but I don't mean to upset Ian there.
Right, I'm going to level things off here. I'm going to level things off here. I'm going to wave the flag for Wharfbrow.
I appreciate that, and there's no offence taken. It'll be a real close encounter, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's going to be a tasty game. I think the fans will be flocking to the Horton Stadium for the Championship finals days. We'll enjoy watching that game.
I think so. I mean, the standard of the conference has been growing year on year, and I think that the games are getting more intense every time I go down watching Lee Miners, or I've been to Wigan St Pat's. They've always been fantastic games, and I would guess that they're very much the same up at Wathbrow, for example. And, you know, at one point the division was a whole league, and it's nice to see a bit more diversity happening now.
Yeah, I think also, getting involved in getting to a day like this, these guys, they may never experience this again. You're there in a professional stadium on a professional day. I mean, in the past we've had the TV there. I know it's not there this year, and it may be the only time some of these guys get, hopefully not, but so you know, you've got to grab the occasion with both hands.
And are you looking forward to it? Are you have an early night on Saturday?
I certainly am, but I'm sure Paul is aware, it's a strange one for Wathbrow. We have a club wedding on Saturday. So
all right, okay, no drinking then.
We would have travelled the night before, in all probability, but, you know, there's some things in life are slightly more important than rugby league, although maybe on the other sport, Shankly would disagree that it's life and death, rugby league, and we certainly treat it as intensely as we possibly can, but we've got a champion bloke who's getting married on Saturday as part of our club, but we'll be sensible. We know we're representing our town, our community, the great club that is Wathbrow Hornets, and we know the huge challenge ahead of us, so we'll be okay, and we'll be travelling down from 6:15 on Sunday morning, ready to play a game of footy and hopefully entertain some people and put the conference in good light.
Now, we know Lee Miners have got a close relationship with Lee Centurions. What's the relationship like for Wharfbrow with maybe working to know Whitehaven?
Yeah, we've sent, you know, scores and players to both Workington and Whitehaven and Barrow, and we have some lads in the Super League now at the moment, Wharfbrow lads. So ultimately our goal as an amateur club is to get lads playing as high a standard as they can. We're lucky enough to have some international honours this year, and Miners are exactly the same with the likes of O'Brien, Yards, Parkinson. You know, they've got a lot of quality, but yeah, Wathbrow's the same. We want to send players to the pro clubs, and if that's a Championship or Super League level, then great. You know, it puts us on the map and us in a good light, and it also benefits the individual and hopefully the Super League clubs or the pro club.
You mentioned some of the league players. Who are the star players of Wharfbrow to look out for on Sunday?
You're probably better asking Paul that, because it'll be saying we lay it on thick about being a village. We really, anyone who's been up here, and Paul spent a number of hours consuming some of the amber nectar with myself and some of our colleagues. It is a small catchment area, so we are team-based, real, you know, and I'm not saying Miners aren't, because they're a very close-knit group as well, and quality set of fellas, but we tend to shy away from the stars and just, you know, we just all muck in and try and do our best, and hopefully if we get the right side of the fence, it'll be great, but we'll certainly be trying. So ask Paul that question, he'll maybe answer it a bit better than myself.
Well, there's threats all over the park, we know that for sure, and I know you'll be turning up ready for the game. And I guess, again, the early start and the early kick-off, I mean, your body clock is probably in a better position getting up early, Ian, so I'm not sure it's a disadvantage getting up that early.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're used to travelling, certainly, Paul, so, you know, by no stretch of the imagination, if we fall the wrong side of the fence, is anyone from our club going to use any excuses whatsoever? If we win, we'll have won on merit and vice versa. If we lose, we've been beaten by a better side on the day, and you know that's what we're all
Correct.
About. I know that's what yous are all about, mate. So
yeah.
There's no reason why the kick-off time and all that should alter the outcome, really.
It's going to be a great occasion. Good luck to both of yous, and may the best team win on the day.
Cheers, thank you.
Certainly, on behalf of everyone at Loughborough, all the very best to Paul. I hope it's an injury-free game, and you know, obviously, yeah. I want my own club to win, but all the very best to everyone at Miners.
Thanks, Ian. Same to you.
Cheers, my friend. See you on Sunday, Paul.
See you, mate.
I'm actually looking forward to that. Well done to Ian Rooney. Thank you very much for joining us. It's going to be a great encounter.
Oh, fantastic. I think that, you know, it's going to be something that I hope every single fan gets there early for, because they're going to be in for a treat, aren't they?
Well, I think if you look at the recent games we was in, I think Egremont especially, we built up a quite considerable lead by half time, and they came right back with a one score, and we had to score right at the end on probably with 3 minutes to go to actually put the game to bed. And the game was St Pat's, it was very tight up to mid second half, and we just managed to pull away and score a few tries near the end. But they're always really good encounters. The lads enjoy being in environments.
So seeing as Ian dodged the question a little bit, who are the main threats, who are the main guys that,
now he's not on the phone, man. You can relax and tell us
who can we look out for.
his own son. I mean, he didn't play last weekend. Dean Rooney, the halfback, he's come in this year. He played for England under-18s, under-19s last week.
They don't look like there's much of him, but he's all quality,
he
isn't
is,
he?
Yeah. He's a good quality guy. He's pretty light, but sometimes that can be an advantage. Obviously Dixon, we're not sure. Pinkin, he's been playing centre, he's played full-back. Dixon's been going to full-back recently. Watson, the Uku, came from Workington, I think, this season. So, you know, although they're small, like I say, small catchment area, if you like, there's quality throughout, and I think that's because they play a lot of the game.
And I know that, you know, like, you probably won't want to pat your guys on the back too much in build-up, but who should fans be looking out for from a Lee Miners point of view?
Obviously, we've got Scott O'Brien. I think everybody's aware of his abilities, but I think Groves is going well at full-back. I think he can light up the game a little bit.
He's great on commentary as well.
Yeah, he is. Sean Dowie, the Australian, at the moment. He's we've moved into a different position recently. But going with Scott, Scott's pretty doubtful at the moment for Sunday. Adam Thomason's going to be out with a knee which flared up last week, so we've got a bit of juggling around to do this week.
It's going to be a long day on Sunday. Lee Miners and Loughborough kick it off. Then we have Keighley versus Swinton. And then the real cherry of the day, Feversham versus London Broncos. I never expected London Broncos to get there. I know Ian Henderson said to me, or Andrew Henderson, sorry, said to me at the start of it, this is an opportunity for the Broncos to make history. I never thought they'd make it.
Yeah,
I never thought they'd make it.
They've took it as well, haven't they?
The
form's been a little bit patchy somewhat within these eights that they've
great
been involved
against
in.
Great win against Dewsbury, by the way.
But that was the fourth or fifth time they played the Rams this season,
yeah.
And the first time they beat them, you know, so they've managed to turn it round. They played really well on the day as well. I saw some highlights, and certainly the Broncos, given the opportunity, can play some attractive rugby. And, you know, I know from speaking with Andrew Henderson in the past, he's a very highly respected man within rugby league, and I'm really pleased that it's starting to come good for him, because I think he was dropped upon. He started the season just as an assistant, his first professional coaching job down there at London. Next thing you know, within a month and a half of the season, he's in the top job, and suddenly he's got the hopes of not just a city, not just a club, but probably of a region on his neck, you know. So I think he's done quite well there.
Yeah, it's a top job, but, you know, he's taken. He wanted to plan that team. He wanted maybe the players he would have picked. So he had to pick up a lot of pieces and done a good job.
And I mean, like Featherstone as well, they sort of struggled after switching and bringing John Sharp in. Initially, they couldn't win for Toffee, but they too have been able to pick up some form over recent weeks. And, you know, I don't think you can rule out Featherstone from this being a good final, because they've got some real match winners, some real pace in that team, some real power. I'm thinking your likes of your Blackmore off the wing, I'm thinking as well.
Got the experience of Harbin as well, haven't you?
They have, you know, and he's going to be all important. And I mean, we've all admired Ian Harbin down the years for his sheer grit and his skill level.
Championship one, Keighley. Fans' favourite club, always expect to get there, but Swinton, John Duffy's done a great job.
I'm torn here. I really am torn, because I think that Keighley was so unlucky to get relegated at the end of last season with regards to what happened with dual contract farce, etc., etc. And the way that they have gone about the business this year in the wake of what happened to arguably their best player in Danny Jones, and losing him, and the way that the whole club and the whole community has rallied round to help Lizzie and, you know, the two twins. I think it would just be a top rugby league story if Keighley Cougars could get promoted back to the Championship. However, I will say regarding Swinter,
there's always a however.
There is a however, you know. John Duffy's done a great job there in putting a young, hungry team together, which also has some interesting experience in places. I mean, they've got Stuart Littler there, who I know that Paul will know well, and you know, he has had a stellar career. You know, he's approaching 500 career games if he hasn't already reached that mark, and it would be good for him to send or to get that team up. And I do think that John Duffy has done an extremely good job in moulding a team together.
Yeah. I mean, John came down and worked with us for a little while. He's passed on a lot of his coaching tips through ourselves. You know, he's a really good guy. He puts a lot back into the community. And he had that job with Lee Centurions previous to this. And he's done a fantastic job. He's assembled some great lads. And I think they've got a real good team spirit there at the moment.
I'm going to go for a draw. I know I can't.
A draw? We could be there all year.
I know then. I can't. We could be there all night then, couldn't we?
I'm going to go... I'm going to say Keighley. I think Keighley just about shaded their games against Swinton this year, haven't they?
I think you're right. I think Keighley do have the edge on the games against Swinton this year. But when better to turn the tables than in a final?
Always the case, and it can always happen.
Always, yeah. I mean, it should be a very close encounter, that. And again, I'm pleased with how it's gone, really, in Championship 1 over the course of the last few weeks, because we've seen some real high skill level games. You know, we've seen the likes of Oldham put together a good winning run to get themselves promoted. We've seen Keighley be totally dominant against Crusaders, who are over your dark horse tip for the competition, weren't they? And again, there's some really good rugby that's been played at that level. Is that what you've found as well, Paul?
Yeah, I think going back to Crusaders, I mean, speaking to Anthony Murray a couple of weeks ago, I think he's picked up 5 or 7, you know, season-ending injuries recently, and I think that's taken a bit of an edge off their finish. But I think that, you know, the format as it stands, I think it's working to an extent if they clean a few of the rules up.
You like the eights, do you?
I do like
and
the
sort
eights.
Of how it's gone,
I know it's
that.
Dropped and people play at their level. You know, you're not getting the outmatched teams now. You're getting competition straight right down to the bottom, and that's what it's all about, surely.
Thinking of the eights, the qualifying eights are all settled. We know who's going to be back in Super League for guaranteed. Huckinson Rovers are there, Widnes Vikings are there, Salford Red Devils. We've got the playoff game, £1 million game, Wakefield versus Bradford. Who's going to win that one?
Wakefield.
Home advantage.
I think they'll be too good for Bradford on the day. I just get a feeling that they're a little bit more battle hardened, and I suggest that they've been playing at a higher intensity. And that's no disrespect to Bradford. You know, you can. I've said this all season when you know, the Championship teams come up against Super League clubs, you can only play what you've been playing all season. So there is obviously a step up in skill and intensity, as we have seen in a lot of the games. But I do just get the feeling that, you know, Wakefield will shade it, probably because they've got a very much more experienced coach.
Yeah, they recruited quite well going into this Super.
They did nothing but recruit, did they?
Was it 9
brand
players?
New team here?
And nine or ten players. And I mean, you know, when you get that sort of movement, I suppose in a way he's done quite a good job to settle it down there, hasn't he, Brian Smith?
So it'd be interesting to see how that one pans out, who's going to join those three. But Salford secured the Super League status with a win against Widnes, and I caught up with Michael Dobson. A win for Salford today, well done, but what a great performance it was.
Yeah, it was. We were pretty desperate today, obviously. A lot of us playing for our futures, really. We needed that win to secure our place in Super League, and you could see the desperation out there, and I think we showed that with our performance today.
How much of a relief is it for you guys to have done it with a game to spare as well?
Oh, massive relief. We didn't want to be going into that game down at Hull KR still needing to win to guarantee our status in Super League. So to do it with a game remaining, it's definitely a relief.
It's a tough old place to come to, the Horton Stadium, so you must be pleased with your 80 minutes action today.
Yeah, we are. We knew it was going to be tough. We know how hard they are to beat at their own place, Widnes. And yeah, I just think we showed our desperation, and it wasn't pretty at times. We had three blokes sin bin, so I played 30 minutes without a man. So we done well, and I'm glad for the boys.
I suggest it was a proper game of rugby league out there.
Yeah, it was. You could tell both teams were desperate to win. Very, very proud that we got the win.
A very controlled performance as well. I thought the man management from Salford today was pretty good.
Yeah, well, that sort of fell on me and Tommy Lee's shoulders, and I thought we did pretty good. We needed to get the ball out a couple more times in the second half. We couldn't do it, but overall, we're pretty happy with the way we managed the game, and I think it worked in our favour.
And obviously, to restrict Widnes to just the two tries shows you played well in defence as well, because you've been criticised in recent games for it.
Yeah, it has, and I think that showed with their desperation. So I think the desperation went up a few notches when we knew we were playing Widnes away. knew how tough it was going to be, and I think we, the previous games when we played the championship sides, we may have not quite been as desperate, thinking that we're just going to cruise through the game, and it sort of nearly bit us in the butt and made it a lot tougher for us in this middle eights.
And for yourself personally, how did you feel you went on the pitch?
Yeah, I thought I did pretty well. I thought I managed the game all right, and obviously got some things I need to improve on, but overall I was very, very happy with the way I played.
What do you think you've got to improve on?
Well, you know, with Michael Dobson, it's field kicking, passing. No, he's a great player. I think he's a brilliant organiser. I've always been a fan of his since he first emerged in Super League back in 2006, and he was playing at Catalan and had that stint with Wigan, didn't he, Paul?
His game management is fantastic. You can see as soon as he's not in a side, they suffer.
Yeah, and what do you make of how Salford? They should really never have been in this position with the team that they had, should they?
Yeah, and no, I mean it's okay. You know, building a squad or buying a squad, and I don't think they built it in the right way. I think they bought in. I think everybody's seen that it doesn't. You know, people in the NRL, sort of teams in the NRL, don't let good players go for nothing. There's always issues one way or another, and I think that's shone straight through. I think Watts has done a fantastic job, though.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to have just moulded everything together. I noticed in the last game against Hull Kingston Rovers as well, he actually gave some of the kids a go, which is something that's been missing, I suppose, from Salford ranks.
Yeah, I think by the adversity sometimes brings us together. I mean, they were left with the guys who wanted to play for that club, and that's what he wanted, and I think he got the best out of them.
I would agree. I think that Watto's done a superb job since he's gone in there, really, because he's had to deal with a lot being chucked his way. And
dealing with Dr. Kukash.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's a challenge.
On and off the field he's had it, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Everything he's had, yeah.
It's been disappointing for Leeds Centurions. They were the boys that are meant to be stepping up and taking on the Super League teams from the Championship. It was Bradford who made the playoff game. Lee, surprisingly, finishing bottom of the Super 8, so qualifying 8.
Yeah, it all seemed to blow up in the Centurions' face after letting a winning lead slip in the very first game against Hull Kingston Rovers. I think it's a blow which they never really recovered from, and you know, it's been a case of limping through these 8 games, which you know, from a Lee fan and Lee person perspective, has been, you know, particularly disappointing in a lot of respects. But you've got to pay a heck of a lot of respect to, you know, the other Championship clubs which have really stepped up to the mark. I mean, we've seen Halifax 3 or 4 times in these 8s and been impressed with them every time.
Yeah, and I think they've got the opportunity to play against Super League sides, and that's what they wanted. You've got to get that benchmark, you've got to see where you are as a team, and I know they'll be disappointed finishing at the bottom of the pile, but they've gone out there and they've seen what level they need to be at. You talk about game management, you know, some of those players will learn a lot, and you know, that should, you know, take them forward next year. I think they'll be much improved.
Well, Paul Rowley, Lee coach, said it was disappointing, but overall it's not been a bad season for them.
Disappointing from our point of view. Obviously, we'll speak as a group about the good year we've had, really. And we're the only Championship side with silverware. So I'm proud of my players. We've done remarkably well. Lost 2 league games in 2 years. So of course I'm going to concentrate. I'm a positive person, so I'll always concentrate on the positives. Fair play to witness today. And fair play to our opponents within the Championship who've all battled hard as well and come good. And I think I said it last week, I'm just going to have to try and reprogram myself to perhaps finish third or fourth and come into these middle eights fresh. As a sportsman, I kind of want to win every game I'm playing, and the structure at the minute, the format, tells me that that's not the smartest thing to do. Maybe time you're running, and you know, like I say, go for third or second spot. There's 4 Super League clubs above us, so we finished fourth out of the 4 Championship clubs. So yeah, that's tough to take. Especially, I think we're 6 points clear at the top of the league. But that's the new format. It's cruel. Well, that's sport, so we can accept that. It's difficult, obviously. Of course, we're upset. I won't try and hide any disappointment. Again, it's a poor ending to a really good film. I think there's some other contributing factors. If you want to talk about it as a whole, then Super League obviously comes straight off the back of Challenge Cup, so there's somebody going to be affected there. Ourselves, we had a good cup run, and towards the end of the season and the beginning of the middle eights, we had 2 catch-up fixtures, so played 3 games in a week. We had Sunday, Wednesday, Sundays on 2 occasions, and as I said, there'll be there'll be at least seven players going to the knife next week, and that's sport, and every club is the same. But yes, we've certainly we are a very broken team.
A very broken team.
Yeah, I mean,
playing for third place next year.
It happens for everybody, doesn't it? You know, you do get to this sort of stage of a season, and I'm sure that Paul, you'll back me up here, and players are pretending that they're not injured just to get picked, aren't they, you know, half the time.
Yeah, that's correct, and especially if you're on the back of a loss as well. Our conditioner did a bit of study with I think somebody from Brisbane, and they find your injuries actually come when you're losing more than when you're winning. So if things are not going right, you're probably going to have the team impacted on as well.
He did make a very interesting point though, because the rugby league has given us this mantra all the way through the season, every minute matters, and Paul's come out with a statement that he could be looking at just aiming at second, third, maybe even fourth next year, and time in the run into these playoffs. That doesn't suggest that every minute matters, does it?
We'll find out next year, won't we?
I guess we will. I mean, it's one of these things that'll just carry on and rumble on, won't it?
Could be here all year, but we haven't got that much time. We've got to hear from Ian Watson before we get out of here. Good luck on Sunday, Paul. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's going to be a great game between Lee Mines and Warfbrow. I know you're going to be shouting for Lee, but come on the Warfbrow. Last words for Ian Watson. You watched some big challenge today against Widnes. You must have been pleased to have got through that challenge.
Yeah, we was. I'm really pleased. Widnes have defended really well in this middle eights and shown up what they are, a Super League team, and they've been consistent over the middle eights as well. And we've leaked a few points. But today we've came here, we've put 24 points on a really good Widnes team, and we've held them to 10 as well, when before people were questioning our defence and probably questioning individuals defensively as well. We had a belief that we could do a job after the last game we played here in the regular season.
Is that the key to success, the defence?
Yeah, definitely. You win everything with it. If you've got a good D, you win. Obviously, you need the attack to score the tries, don't you? But your defence is what your platform's made on for me. And if you have a defensive attitude like we had today, where we're willing to work hard for each other and all pull in the right direction, then you get results like that.
When the tries came, there were some powerful players that led up to it and got the tries scored as well.
Yeah, oh, there were some good performances out there today. I think the biggest thing is a team performance. You've seen people have run hard for each other, they've pushed with each other, they've tackled as a pack, they've hunted together, and it's something that we've wanted to see out of some of the Salford boys for a while. But that passion and attitude, what they've shown today, was what we need to maintain going forward now.
And the pleasing aspect is with this victory, it secures Super League status next year.
Yeah, it does, and that's a massive relief for the club and stuff, so we can start planning ahead and putting things in place for next year, because at the moment you've always been on the back foot, you can't really go too far forward. But now the club can do that, and we're really pleased that we've got the opportunity to do that with a game to spare now. But there were some massive performances, I mean, and some of the players who are leaving us. Lama Tazi, I thought, was outstanding again today, and Settling's getting a great player with him. You've got Harrison Anson again, Corey Patterson, Tommy Lee and Michael Dobson have been brilliant for us, and obviously they're staying with us as well, and we need to kind of build a team around them guys with their kind of attitude, because it's massive within the group, it's influential.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your Feel Better station.
General. Radio General.